Dynasty Refinery Podcast, your home of in-depth dynasty analysis with your host, Michael Royer, and co-host, Jared Fox. Prepare for content to drop in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Dynasty Refinery Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Royer. Joining me as always is my co-host, Jared Fox. How you doing today?
Pretty good. How about yourself, Mike?
Oh, I don't know. You know, with this coronavirus here, most of these people are, you know, at home, and we're trying to give you guys good content. Me as a produce manager, apparently I'm important now. So I'm working 12, 13-hour days just trying to put food out there for you guys. So
and toilet paper.
And well, produce isn't as much toilet paper as much. The ladies want the eggplant. You know, the guys come in and try to get your much more manly broccoli asparagus kind of shit.
That manly broccoli.
Exactly.
All right.
So first off, I'd like to, you know, we're very excited about this. We're partnering with TrophySmack.com this year. Did you know that?
Yes. Yes, I did.
So, level up your fantasy smack talk with customizable trophies, championship belts, rings, and more. You get free shipping on all of your orders, free league names and past winners engraved on your nameplates, and up to 19 years of perpetual trophies. 12 years on belts, which for our listener league one, we will actually be getting a belt from TrophySmack.com where you can have your names engraved on there. You got customizable trophies by size, color, trophy toppers, and engravings. And if you guys use the code REFINE at TrophySmack.com, any trophy or belt you get comes with a free championship ring, which is a $59 value. So again, that code is REFINE. We're going to be working with them on some things, and you know, the trophies that we're trying to get, we're going to be buying through them. And you know, they seem to be a great company. You know, I'm excited to see our championship belt once we get that ordered. And you know, it's a pretty exciting thing for us.
There is nothing more official than having your name engraved Ooh. Into a belt.
It is.
I cannot wait to see that.
It's going to be exciting, especially because I'm probably going to win that year one. You know what I mean? So we'll just see how things go. So today, obviously, last week we talked about free agents. Today we're going to talk about free agent stock report. You know, we're going to kind of assess where things are at. And you know, we love doing things on Twitter here and just trying to bring up polls. But we did polls for 7 or 8 different, you know, players. And what?
Not the kind of polls Mike's usually talking about.
I'm not quite sure where we're going here. You know, it's been a long day, but I'm a little confused on that. It's not very
confusing.
It kind of hurt my feelings a little bit. So
anyone who's listened to the last episode, Dalvin Cock rant.
That was 2 weeks ago. So what we're going to talk about first is obviously DeAndre Hopkins. You know, and the reason I put these polls out there is just to try to get an idea of what people want to do. Like, you know, we got 581 votes, which is the most we've ever gotten on any of our Twitter polls, which is fantastic. And out of those 581 polls, we had 39% of you are saying his value went up. 23% said his value went down. 38% said his value is just a lateral move. You know, and that's an interesting kind of thing because that says to me, you know, 39% of the market right now is willing to pay more than what they were willing to pay before he got traded. And DeAndre Hopkins was a late first, you know. So how much more are you willing to pay for DeAndre Hopkins at a 27-year-old wide receiver who's, you know, changing situations here? I mean, that's the part that comes up to me. I think he gets a slight uptick, you know, in value. I think he's with Kyler Murray now, you know, so that's going to be very similar to things that he did with Watson. Kyler can extend plays with his legs, keep things moving, just like Watson did. I think it gives him a better red zone threat that Arizona didn't have. But DeAndre Hopkins is definitely going to get peppered this year. I see it more of a lateral to slight uptick. What about yourself?
No, I absolutely see it as a lateral move as well. I mean, how can you get much better than Watson? You know what I mean? Like, Kyler Murray at his ceiling is playing pretty much like Watson. So I don't see him going down. I don't see him moving up that much. There is competition still in Arizona, just as much as there was in Houston. So yeah, lateral all the way for me.
Yeah, I just think through this poll, the thing that sticks out to me is, like I said, 39% of people believe that the value has gone up. And if it has gone up, maybe you can get Devontae Adams plus, Tyreek Hill plus, those other guys that are really close. You might be able to get since we both believe it's a lateral move or slight upgrade, if 39% of people believe that it's stock up, you might be able to get a little bit more than you were able to a week ago.
Yeah.
In the exact same type situation, we're same team, we're looking at Christian Kirk. And I put a poll out there trying to see where everyone thinks Christian Kirk's going to finish year one. And this is an interesting situation to go because, you know, he got a lot of the targets as the number one last year. But Hopkins is going to demand 120, 130 type targets. Christian Kirk, you know, I put it out there. Will he be the wide receiver 12 to 15? 9% of you said that. 15 to 20, 26. And 65% of you guys believe that Christian Kirk will not even be a wide receiver 2. Now, me personally, I have him, you know, in that 15 to 20 range because I believe Hopkins alleviates some of those things. It's kind of like when Juju was in Pittsburgh and Antonio Brown was in front of him, he opened things up. Christian Kirk is not a wide receiver 1 in my estimation for his team or for fantasy purposes, but he's a guy who could thrive on the second side and eat up those number 2 corners where those number 1 corners were shutting him down. And Christian Kirk, according to this, if 65% of people believe that he's outside the wide receiver 2 realm, seems to be a buy for me right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think people are also worried about the fact that Fitz is still there. He's going to take some targets up, but I don't know. Maybe Fitz just settles into that nice wide receiver 3 role. He's probably going to do, you know, I don't know, a little bit, but it's just, I think Kirk is nice now. He is the exact same to me as before. I think people are expecting that he could be like the wide receiver 1 on that team before, but that's never what he was built to be. So, no, this works out nice.
Most people think he's an outside or a slot receiver only, but he did play a majority of his snaps on the outside last year. So, I mean, I see him as a slight uptick here where the community sees him as a downward spiral from where he was a week ago. Again, actionable type thing where you can say, well, right now I might be able to buy Christian Kirk and get a second added on to wherever I was last week, you know, and right, just add those kind of things. So that was the first offseason trade that we, you know, didn't really bring up much in the first episode. The second one I want to talk about is the Bills went and got their guy. You know, they gave up a first round pick, multiple, you know, late round picks for Stephon Diggs. And this is one that might be a little bit more, you know, splitting hairs here, but 44%, and we're talking again, 581 polls, which is awesome. Thank you guys so much. You know, last year, this time, that would have been like 82, you know, and you guys are really coming out and helping that out. And that helps us, and that helps you guys. I mean, we're able to take that information and those statistics and pass it on to you guys so you guys can start making some moves. So 44% of you said Stephon Diggs, that's stock up. 33% said down. 23% said lateral. Now, I'm lateral, maybe a slight uptick, kind of the same as Hopkins. Because, okay, so hear me out on this. You know, 94 targets in Minnesota. How many more is he going to get in Buffalo? I believe, you know, a good 15 to 20 more. But Cousins is a lot more accurate and a lot more, you know, he's a guy that's going to do more with his passes than Josh Allen. Josh Allen's going to need more passes to get it done. Josh Allen was actually last in the league in deep ball percentages last year. We both love Josh Allen because he's a gunslinger and has no problem chucking it. But Diggs, you know, he is great in that short to intermediate, but he is a good deep ball threat as well. So that part comes down a little bit. And he stays in like a run-first offense. So everybody thinks he's going to Buffalo. Therefore, he's going to get a lot more targets because they're going to throw it more. But I don't see, you know, Minnesota was last in the league in passes. But Buffalo was bottom 5 as well. You know, they're a run-first offense. Diggs gets a chance to be an alpha. Is he going to be one?
I think so. I think that he takes – I think at worst, he is – this move is lateral. I think it has a lot of upside for him to definitely have an uptick, be a true wide receiver 1. You know, I don't think he's going to be a top 5 receiver or anything, but I think Josh Allen is willing to take those risks with throwing deep balls and just chucking it to him. And I think once they build a little chemistry in the first couple weeks, I think he's going to pick up sometime around week 5 and just go off. And that's what Diggs wants. He wants that work, and
he Cousins, wants to be a
Cousins
diva.
Never
he wants,
gave it to
he
him.
He is a diva, and he wants to be the best.
Yeah, and all Cousins that. Would do, if you watch Minnesota play, he wouldn't throw the ball to him the entire game.
Except against the Eagles. You remember
right,
that game?
Right, ooh, yeah. Everybody does that to the Eagles. But here's the thing, is he wouldn't throw the ball to him the entire game. And then for some reason, in like the second half of the fourth quarter, he would just pepper him with short ball after short ball after short ball. And that's where he got all of his receptions. I think he's going to get a consistent workload. Forget about John Brown and forget about Cole Beasley. You know, Stephon Diggs is in town, and this is his team now when it comes to the receiving core. And, you know, the passing attack's going to funnel through him. They are a run-first team, but that doesn't mean that they can't produce a filthy wide receiver. Filthy.
It should be interesting. You know, I feel like John Brown plays a similar type role to Diggs as they do that intermediate routes and the deep balls. And it could create a pretty interesting type offense to open things up to for Devin Singletary. You know, that was the biggest takeaway for me is I think that run game is going to open up a little bit more. You know, it's like before it was, okay, John Brown can take the top off, but what else? You worried about Dawson Knox? You worried about Cole Beasley? Right. There's not much of a threat there, but now you have two outside receivers who are both a threat to go deep, to take the defense apart, and then you got Cole Beasley and Dawson Knox across the middle. Now all of a sudden, Singletary's going to have some open looks. Singletary's going to be able to take some dump offs, and you know, unless they draft another running back, his stock's up in my opinion through this deal.
Absolutely.
Next guy, and we should have brought this up with Hopkins, but let's talk about Kyler Murray here. You know, I had put a poll out there. Right now, I put, is Kyler Murray a top three, a top five, or lower when it comes to dynasty rankings? You know, I did my rankings at Dynasty Happy Hour. I had him as a top 10 overall asset. I had him as the number three quarterback, or number four quarterback, which was the highest by far of anyone. And right now, I'm ready to move him above Watson. But 47% of you guys agree with that. He's a top three dynasty asset for almost 50% of the dynasty community, which is saying something for a guy that young. Then we're looking at 45% said he's top five, you know. So pretty much 92% of you guys are on board. Kyler Murray's top five, set it and forget it, you know. And the other eight of you guys, I don't know if you've been, you know, living under a rock or something like that. But I mean, or some of you guys I think are just trolls out there trying to make things happen. But Kyler Murray, you know, is it time to sell him now? You know, and hear me out here a little bit, is we have a very similar type situation with Baker Mayfield last year. You know, everybody wanted that Baker because that was that new sexiness. And Baker, you know, both of them from Oklahoma, both of them slightly undersized, both of them having horrible offensive line that we want to forget, you know, forget about at times. They both just got an alpha wide receiver. Obviously, Freddie Kitchens and that coaching change was the biggest thing, you know, that in the offensive line for Baker.
He was not cooking it up in the kitchen.
There was no cooking. So is Kyler Murray a sell right now? We were talking about 3 weeks ago, we were advocating selling Lamar Jackson for Kyler Murray in a first. That ship sailed probably. Are we at a point now where we're saying, why don't we sell Kyler Murray for Carson Wentz in a first?
Well, I will say one thing is, if you're afraid of selling Kyler at his current value going as like the eighth overall, now we've done several startups just this year alone, and that's where he goes. He goes right in that, like, you know, it was early second, late first before he got Hopkins. Now it's mid first.
Here's
and
the tricky thing, though. Can he go up more?
That's what I was about ready to say, more? Mike.
We
if
said Lamar
can't,
Jackson can't.
He can't go up any higher. Like, his
that's
ceiling,
what I'm saying. Is it selling time?
He could do what Lamar did, and he would only move up a spot or two. So he's already maxed out before he's ever done it. So I understand. If you're getting the right value, if somebody's willing to pay what he's currently worth, then I wouldn't shy away, especially if it's a trade that helps your team positionally. No. If you're getting, like, a running back and a serviceable quarterback, and you're like, hey, this value looks good. I'm getting a Josh Allen and a Stephon Diggs and a mid-first round pick or something like that.
Let me tell you the offer I got yesterday.
All right, let's hear it.
This guy is the guaranteed, 100%. There's no chance this guy does not have the 101 in 2021. He said, I'll give you the 2021 for Kyler Murray today. It's Trevor Lawrence or Kyler Murray. Now, I'm a contender, so I told him, I'm a contender. It was that team, that rebuild, you know, we did the art of the rebuild. That was that 24-2 team, and I got Carson Wentz and Mitch Trubisky. So if I do that, I'm rolling with Trubisky as my quarterback all year.
Right.
So I was trying to leverage another quarterback there, but Lawrence or Murray right now?
Man, I mean, as much as I love Murray, I mean, Lawrence is a generational
prospect. He's going to be like
Patrick
Mahomes.
He's the best quarterback prospect we've seen come out since Andrew Luck, you know?
Yeah.
And in the long run, my gut does tell me, yeah, you should probably go with Lawrence on that one. It's hard to wait a year to get him.
And it's like,
but
it's the type of move where I make that move and I don't win the championship and you know, I don't have that second quarterback. And then it cost me $300 instead of Trevor Lawrence.
And I'll tell you right now, if there's even 1% chance that that isn't the 101, you might want to think about
there's
it.
There's no chance. People that are in that league, he had the 101 this year, and he will definitely have it again next year. So let's go on the flip side here. you know, Hopkins left the Texans. Deshaun Watson. Now, we both agree, Deshaun Watson, we both had him as our QB3. He's a great talent, you know, and with Hopkins, it was like all systems go, you know. Now, we're looking at same kind of poll. 33% of you, only 33% said he's top three. If that poll came out before the Hopkins deal, that would be 70 plus.
No brainer.
Or more. Now, 60% of you guys said he's barely top five. And then 7% said that they wouldn't even take him in the top 10. You know, so those 7%, that's an outlier. Yeah, they're out there. But I mean, now is Deshaun Watson a buy? I mean, now we're at a situation where I think people might be willing to give you Kyler plus for Deshaun Watson instead of the other way around. And I believe he's going somewhere else next year. Or they're getting weapons, you know. I mean, I feel like they at least take a guy like Jefferson this year. But Watson, I think, is still going to be a QB1. He's the type of talent like Carson Wentz was last year. He's going to be a QB1 no matter what. You know, he's got a rushing floor. He's still a great quarterback. I mean, if Carson Wentz did it with the XFL receivers, Deshaun Watson should be able to do it with Stills and Fuller and Kiki Kuti and whoever else they bring in here.
Hey, the talent's still there. I still think he's going to put up good numbers. But can any quarterback other than maybe Patrick Mahomes really overcome losing probably the most talented wide receiver in the NFL?
I'm not saying he's the QB3, but he's been the QB5 every year. I'm saying he's still going to be a QB1, not the QB1. He'll be a top 12 quarterback this year, but it's fringe now.
Unless Bill O'Brien has something to say about it.
Bill O'Brien's just, trade him to the Patriots, Bill. Just trade him. You know, get that first round pick since you gave away two for Laremy Tunsil. You know, there was a graphic came out today and it was just disgusting of the players that they traded and what they got. You know, they gave up two first round picks, DeAndre Hopkins, multiple, you know, just so many pieces and got like Carlos Hyde and David Johnson and Laremy Tunsil. And I'm like, ooh. How is he not out of there yet? But anyways.
I think his clock's ticking.
Let's talk about David Johnson since we're in that same kind of thing. Obvious it's a stock up. I mean, there's no way you can say it's a stock down by going to Houston because there's no competition right now other than Duke Johnson. And Arizona wanted Kenyon Drake. They made that obvious once they got him in there. Now, I was under the camp believing that David Johnson wasn't washed, but it was like, man, they don't even want him there. Like they're trading him, just trying to get him out of Dodge. Right now, how much stock up are people believing? Now, he's the type of guy I'm believing it's only for 2020. You know, if I'm buying David Johnson, I'm not looking for a future here. I'm looking for a year. I put the poll out there. Is he an RB1, an RB2, a flex, or lower? 7% of you said RB1. Those are the guys under the rock again. You know, it feels like it's 7% one way or another. 48% said they think he's going to be an RB2 this year, and 38% said the flex. 7% on the other side said, don't even want him lower than a flex option for me. David Johnson, where would you put him at for this year, you know, in this type poll? You say he's an RB1, RB2, or a flex?
I mean, in the first 6 weeks last year, he was putting up numbers.
Yep.
He really was.
High volume, but he was putting up numbers. Yeah. I think that was like grooming Kyler before he got hurt.
Mostly in the receiving game. He wasn't doing a whole ton in the run game, but he wasn't bad. But, I mean, I want to believe that he can put up numbers again. It's just tough to say. I think he's going to have a good season this year. I think if I had to guess and put a number on it, he finishes maybe like the RB
15.
I was going to say 13. Okay. So we're pretty close on that. But yeah, no, I think that's completely, and he has upside to do a little better than that.
Here's the tricky thing to me is like they traded last year for Duke Johnson. There are very few pass catchers in this league better than Duke Johnson. And they didn't use him. I mean, they didn't use him. Now they traded last year for Carlos Hyde. Now they're trading for David Johnson. So they've invested three second-round picks for three older running backs that they're not really – how are they going to use them?
No, I know. But I do want to state that they gave Carlos Hyde over 1,000 yards rushing, which I didn't think would ever happen in Carlos Hyde's career. So, you know, it's not a bad situation for him. I mean, Lamar Miller was putting up – crazy numbers when he was pretty much washed. So it's hard to say. It really is. But I'm just going to say in redraft, I'm taking him right around that RB 13 to 15 range, like you said. And, you know, it's just, I think he does okay. Dynasty wise, you should be staying away from him. If anybody's willing to give you that kind of money for him, I'm taking it.
It's
I'm
a second
running.
Round pick. Now. I saw a guy today, and this blew my mind.
But
he got the 103 for David Johnson.
Okay, that's crazy.
Slam that. If
that's
you get any
crazy.
First, you take it.
Yeah.
At this point,
and
it's
I was gonna say,
we were talking about with Gurley before.
You could probably get a random first.
I think so too.
During the season next year, and that's the play. You hang on to him. You let him put up a few games because he's probably going to do it, and you take that first and run.
Here's the contrary play that I'm looking at right now. Is go buy Duke Johnson for a late third. You know, Duke Johnson, when given an opportunity in Cleveland, was an RB1. When he got, he caught 80 passes that year. He's one of the best pass-catching running backs. He's going to get opportunities. If they don't draft a running back, offer up a third for Duke Johnson, like a late third, and I think somebody jumps on it when they're on the clock of the rookie draft, and he could be a nice, solid RB2. Don't go out and don't be that owner that pays that first for David Johnson now. You know,
right.
Let it play out.
Absolutely.
If you need him at the end of the season, you know, it's week 10, 11, 12, and the guy's been balling out, then you can do it, but don't do it now. Like, it's foolish. I just mentioned Todd Gurley, so obviously Todd Gurley gets cut, you know, by the Rams. Love that for Henderson, which we're going to talk about in a second here. But Todd Gurley goes to the Falcons, you know, so we're looking at he's taken over where Devontae Freeman was. Right now, 50% of you guys said stock up. I agree. 22% said down. 28% said it's a lateral. I think it's an uptick. I think Atlanta is going to have one of the most underrated offenses in the league going in this year with Julio Jones. Calvin Ridley's about to go off. You know, Matt Ryan's on that every other year plan. And, you know, you look at last year, they were the number one pass-heavy team because the defense was so bad. They're trying to, you know, beef up the defense here, trying to make things happen. I think Todd Gurley has a back-end RB1 type season this year because the Rams gave him a one-year prove-it deal, the Falcons. And the Falcons are going to beat him.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're not – the Rams were kind of taking it easy, you know. And Todd Gurley was the best pass catcher on that, you know, out of that backfield, and he wasn't getting a lot of receptions. I think Atlanta just totally – goes all in. You know, they want to win it. They got
Julio's
getting older.
Yeah, this is a Super Bowl move. This is a Super Bowl move.
Ryan, I mean, they got so many first-round picks in that offense now. They're going to be going for it. Todd Gurley could get 300-plus touches again. And if he does that, he's an RB1 again. And he's a sell when the season's over or towards the end to a contender. But I think he's going to have a good season.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean,
it's not just because we drafted him.
We just drafted him
in Dynasty Refinery 2.
Well, we got to talk about him now. No, well, here, the numbers prove it. I mean, the Rams were 31st last year in effectiveness with their O-line.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure it was probably the Bengals that were worse. So any other team is better for him. And like you said, they're going to use the living crap out of him, which the Rams were trying to stay away from a little bit last year because they thought that maybe they'd let him play out his deal. And I don't know, he had about 3-4 years left on it. They thought at one point, I'm sure, that they could get the rest of that out of him.
And I just wrote an article on well, we're going to talk about Darrell Henderson here. I just wrote an article about that's going to be coming out later in the week here on him. And, you know, the interesting thing here is right now, you know, it's what are we going to do here with this type of situation? But looking at it, you know, they had so many. 2018, they had a great offensive line. And they lost three key guys to injury last year and had 12 different starters. All 12 of those guys are back on the roster right now. Some of them have, you know, improved through things. They're looking at taking, you know, upticks on with their second and third round picks. I don't think the Rams take a running back in the first three rounds again. And here's why, you know, and you guys kind of agreed with this as well. Henderson, you got 6% of you guys said he's an RB1. Obviously his stock is up once he's gone. And you and I both think that it's Henderson, not Malcolm Brown, who's going to take over. Malcolm Brown has shown a flash every now and then. But Henderson, 58% of you guys believe in RB2. 20% said a flex, and 16% said a bust. So now's an opportunity to buy him on the low end. And here's why I'm interested in this situation is the line has improved. You know, you're looking at a guy who was the most efficient and highest yards per carry, you know, the most efficient running back in college football history. He was, 8.2 yards per carry
with
his
Memphis,
junior year.
Though,
I understand it's Memphis, but the guy was explosive, and he caught 20 balls a year. I think he's the guy who's the pass catcher for sure in that offense. Malcolm Brown's going to get his touches. But I think Henderson is a guy that you buy right now for your RB3 on your team. You know, you don't have to start him. He could be your flex. But he has potential to be an RB1. I mean, he had the most broken tackles per – he had one broken tackle per 5.6 carries last year, which was number one in the NFL. You know, he had very limited touches, so it's tough to really project that kind of thing. But I think he's a guy that you can buy for an early second right now and cash in.
Yeah, and here's where our opinions vary just a little bit, is I think his upside is somewhat limited this year because Malcolm Brown's there, and I do think he's going to get his share of touches. I think the plan in the long run is that we turn Henderson into our long-term running back. They drafted him to be that guy.
Yeah, traded up 2/3 to go up and get him.
Yep, and he looked like that guy coming out. We were super hyped on him. I mean, if anyone doesn't remember, last year in rookie drafts, at one point, he was probably a mid-first.
Yeah.
And then when he went behind Gurley, then you're like, dang, you know what I mean? And then
there was the Gurley news about his knee, and then he went back up there.
He was a late first. Yeah. That's where he kind of settled. So, I mean, I don't know. Last year, before the season started, in practice, we all expected a timeshare so they could take some of the work off of Gurley. They were saying that he wasn't performing quite as well as they had hoped, and he ended up not quite getting as many touches as most people hoped. So I think there's still a lot of question there.
Week one, Malcolm Brown gets 11 carries, 53 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, those 2 touchdowns.
And then he's not heard of again for like 6 weeks.
Right.
You know, so I think McVay
Do you remember that balancing act run he had on the sideline? I still remember that. He ran 10 yards just like tiptoeing on the sideline. He looked like, I don't know, he looked like Le'Veon pumped. Bell there for a
I
second.
I traded him for a second on all my teams that I had as soon as that game was over, because then people were like, wait a second, it's not Henderson that's taken over, and Gurley's clearly done, and now Malcolm Brown's literally, he's going in the 20 to 24th round of your startups.
I'm not going to lie. For a minute, I was like, whoa, how have none of us ever noticed this guy?
Yeah.
Like, he did look like a beast that first game, but yeah, I don't know. Henderson, the upside is absolutely ridiculous with his average draft, with his ADP, because where did we just get him, Mike? I can't even remember. Like,
we got a tenth round.
Tenth round pick.
Which is, to me, is good. I've been talking about this, you know, since we've rebooted the podcast, that he's a guy that I have picked up on all my Dynasty startups. You know, it's 4 for 4 now. Every single one I've gotten him in, and I've gotten him in that 10. Now it's the 10th, but I was buying him in that 13, 14 range, just with the idea of that something might happen to Gurley, you know, and that's why we've said Tony Pollard. That's why we've said Alexander Mattison and Henderson and even Justice Hill. Those four guys, if given opportunities, can put up RB2 numbers with a potential RB1 type season here and there if given the right type of opportunity.
Yeah, and the price is not high. So even if Henderson doesn't end up being an RB1 or a high-end RB2, you're probably not losing out that much if you make a trade for him. The price just isn't that high. He's not a guy I would necessarily go overpaying for if the hype goes crazy here, which it might. You know, it might slowly rise and rise as you hear more good things coming from the beat reporters and everything. But
I've heard trades on Twitter. I wouldn't trade
Stephon straight up for him.
I've heard 109 to 112. I would be very comfortable in a super flex 110, 111. I think I would be okay with that. But I don't want to get into that top nine. We've talked about it all year. That top nine is sexy.
I think you could give a second round pick for him. Like,
it would have to be early.
You know, we always preach about wait till you're on the clock to really get the most value. I think if you're sitting on the clock with like the 201, 202, 203, I think you could get a guy like Henderson for that.
I offered the 112 today to a guy, and he said there's too much upside. You know, so I feel like it's going to go – it really depends on how that guy got that player. If they drafted him at the 109, they're going to do it. But if their rookie draft – I was in a rookie draft last year where I got Kyler at the 101, Jacobs at the 102, and I took Henderson at 209, because what I did was I flipped a first to move up and got a second in return, and I got him at 209. So I would be willing to sell him for a first because of what I paid for him. You know what I mean? And that's in this class, if I can get somewhere in that top – nine, I'm going for it. So next running back we want to talk about is Melvin Gordon. You know, Melvin Gordon finally leaves the Chargers. I bet he wishes he was still there making that money, you know, but he still got paid pretty well here. You know, he goes to Denver.
And he got his revenge.
Yes, he was actually offered more money and more years potentially from other teams. The Bills deny it, but I'm still hearing a lot about Buffalo. But he went there just to play the Chargers twice a year, and he said that. You know,
yeah.
He's a hungry type player. He is a guy who needs volume. He totally needs that. I'm hearing a lot of talk about Philip Lindsay moving into that third down role, and I think that's complete garbage. Melvin Gordon is a better pass catcher than Philip Lindsay. Melvin Gordon, over his career, has caught 40, 50, 60 passes a year. He's a high-volume guy. They did not pay him $8 million a year to split carries in a 50-50 workload with Philip Lindsay.
Mike, killing my Lindsay shares right
Denver,
now. Denver. Come on now.
Bye, Philip Lindsay.
I told you
he's
we
wonderful.
Weren't talking about him until I've moved
well,
all them.
We're trying to build up our Drew Lock shares. Drew Lock is getting weapons everywhere. I'm hearing Henry Ruggs is you know, somebody that they're going to draft. And if you're looking at Sutton on the outside, Fant in the middle, Ruggs on the other side, and Melvin Gordon at running back, I mean, that offense is going to be exciting. But here's what's interesting about the poll that I put out. Again, 500-plus votes. Only 24% of you guys say it is a increase in value. So he's going to an offense who, let's just say Tyrod Taylor is the quarterback for the Chargers. This is probably a better offense in Denver. The amount of – so now we're worried about what, the volume? Eckler's still there. Now we got Lindsay. I mean, who's going to take up more carries? Who's going to take up more receptions? I think it might be a better situation. I didn't think it at first, but I started really looking through on this. 55% of you guys said absolutely 100% stock down, sell them. You know, that's our biggest number out of any of these the whole way across the board is that Melvin Gordon is a sell on Twitter right now. What do you think here? I mean, well, you know, you're looking at a two-year deal, so it's not like he's going to be out of town like Gurley. You know, Gurley's a one-year prove-it deal. He's got a two-year deal. He's in Denver, an ascending offense. I mean, this seems like an opportunity where you can get him.
Yeah, I mean, if nobody thinks his stock is up, I'm not selling him.
If you're buying,
absolutely
they're selling.
Not.
If you're selling, they're buying. You know, yeah,
you might want to sell Gurley because his stock's up. But, I mean, dude, I mean, Mel, I agree 100%. I think Royce Freeman is trash. I've thought that since he came out. Yeah. And I told you that Royce Freeman was going to be a bust. Like, he was never good. He just was in that Oregon offense in college. He looked great. They fed him the ball. He was never actually that good. He just had five linemen that were all, you know, future NFL stars. And it's not that hard to do what he did in that situation. Philip Lindsay, you know, he's great. He's your little scat back. Yeah. He's
great
for what he is.
He's not that great of a pass catcher. He's a very scrappy.
No, he's just serviceable. Yeah. He's not. He doesn't excel at any aspect. And I think they're going to use him as that secondary role. I don't think either of those running backs are going to fit in as they have some kind of certain role. I think they're going to, when Melvin Gordon needs a breath, you know, they're going to throw one of them in.
70-30 split. You know, I'm hearing a lot of guys think of 50-50 timeshare, and I'm like, no way.
You don't think Melvin Gordon's going to come out and want a beast next
year
to show
70-30.
Everyone
he is.
What he's worth?
Yeah.
I get
see
that
him
his
easily
yards.
Having, he's going to be the red zone guy for sure.
Yeah.
But I could see him coming out with a season where he catches, you know, 50 balls, 1,200 rushing yards, and over 10 touchdowns. That would not blow my mind. I got him in our Dynasty Refinery Listener League 1 in the 10th round as my RB3. You know, and that's, if you can get him as your RB2, RB3, you should be happy about that.
Right, and here's why everybody's kind of overthinking it, I think. Because they're saying, all right, Melvin Gordon, his yards per carry has always been horrible. It's like,
that's why I said
it's like
he needs
mid-threes,
he
right?
Needs...
Right? So they're thinking he's going to need tons of volume to put up the kind of RB1 numbers that he used to put up. All right? You go into a backfield with three guys, and he's going to be in a timeshare. They're not going to be able to just completely move on from Royce Freeman and Philip Lindsay. And, you know, he's not going to get that volume to put up those RB1 numbers. He's going to be in a timeshare like he was with Eckler last year, where you didn't know when he was going to put – if he didn't score a touchdown, he was useless. You know what I mean? Everybody's seeing what happened last year at the end of the year and thinking that's what's going to happen here. And, again, like you said, they didn't pay him $8 million a year to let him – just sit in a timeshare with two lesser running backs. Absolutely not. I think that Melvin Gordon is going to have a big year this year. Now, does that mean I think that his dynasty value is off the charts? Not necessarily. I don't think he's going to last all that much longer as an RB1. But if you're a contending team, or if you want to get him and flip him when his value's hot, when he's putting up those numbers, I think the time to sell is during the season this coming year.
For sure.
Or if you need a running back on the cheap, I think Melvin Gordon is probably a top three target for me right now.
So Melvin Gordon right now, we're talking about, you were just talking about the Chargers. Now, the Chargers on Pro Football Focus, their offensive line, over the last 2 years, 28th and 29th. Out of 32.
Yeah, you know? That's pretty good, isn't it?
Let's go with, and now he's moving to Denver. Any, I guess, where Denver is?
Probably
number 12.
That's,
you know, so you're going
a considerable leap.
And a guy who, I mean, there's nobody.
I mean, they made a little white running back in Phillip Lindsay look good. Just saying.
Over those 2 years, Melvin Gordon had 3.8 yards per carry. If we can get him to a spot where we know he's going to get a heavy workload and he gets up to 4.5 because that offensive line is better, I mean, I'm starting to believe, and I'm going to be buying him on all my redraft teams. You know, and now you could.
So what's the price, Mike? What's the price?
1.8. 1.8.
Okay. That's higher than I thought you were going to say, but
I'm thinking I could get, man, that's hard.
Dude, can you imagine getting him for like an early second?
No. I don't think anybody's so selling sexy for a second now.
I don't know, man. Hey, people hate Melvin Gordon. It's just,
you know who people don't hate?
There's certain guys that everybody hates, and Melvin's one of those guys.
Nobody hates DJ Moore.
No.
So let's talk about this. Okay. Did another poll. So Teddy Bridgewater comes in. You know, obviously that's an upgrade from Kyle Allen. They sign Robbie Anderson. 2 years, I believe $22 million. I was told that, well, not me personally, the Jets didn't actually call me, but the Jets offered him a longer deal with more money per year. But who wants to go play for the Jets again?
Right.
You know, if Sam Darnold's your quarterback and you're from Canada, you should probably cry about it. But, you know, nobody in particular. You get Rule as the new coach. A lot of people are saying, man, I don't know how many mouths to feed, like, DJ Moore's stock might be down because Robbie Anderson. No. DJ Moore is a legit wide receiver. I think Robbie Anderson's going to be on the outside. DJ Moore's going to be on the other side. You're going to get a lot of Samuels in the slot, a lot of DJ Moore mixing in the slot. There's a lot of mouths to feed. But people are saying Ian Thomas and Robbie Anderson and Samuel are really going to eat into DJ Moore.
Don't forget Christian McCaffrey.
But, yeah. Well, he's the number one target there, clearly. We're not even taking that away. But 52% of you guys said stock up with Teddy Bridgewater. 24% down, 24% said equal. I don't know how much more DJ Moore's stock can go right now, as according to DLF, he is the wide receiver 6 off the board behind only Michael Thomas, DeAndre Hopkins, Tyreek Hill, Davante Adams, and Chris Godwin. He's the 6th guy off the board. You know, so there isn't a lot of room there. You could say move up 1 instead of Godwin. But with the Tom Brady news, I don't think anybody's moving Godwin down. Maybe not even you.
I don't know. We'll see.
So DJ Moore, I feel like...
You know how stubborn I am, Mike.
I feel if he gets it done with Teddy Bridgewater... The interesting thing today is the Panthers actually signed... Is it PJ Walker?
Yeah.
You know, the king of the XFL.
Yeah.
You know, something interesting to monitor. Just, you know, I mean, this is our first real player.
I hope he beasts it up.
It would be fantastic. You know, and you know how he got the job in the XFL? Patrick Mahomes actually put in a call for him. You know, he wasn't a guy that they were, like, really out there to get. So I think it's pretty cool. Hayden Hurst was another one we did here, just to throw in some tight ends. I know some of you guys like the tight end. But Hayden Hurst, obviously his stock is up because he's not behind Mark Andrews. So there's no point in putting that poll out there. But I've said, is he top 5, top 12, top 18, or worse? 3% of you said he's top 5. And, again, trolls.
I can't very see. Wishful thinking from like, some Hayden Hurst owners, maybe.
I feel like Andrews, Kelsey, or Kittle are moving their way out. 55% said top 12, 33% said 18. I mean, where are you seeing Hayden Hurst fall in there? And the interesting thing now is he a buy or a sell given this? If 55% of people think he's a top 12 tight end, to me that makes him a buy. The interesting part, you know, he's 30 catches, 349 yards, 2 touchdowns last year with 11.6 yards per carry, which is pretty solid for a tight end. He's a pretty athletic tight end. Hooper is vacating 88 targets, 72 receptions, 700 yards, and 5 scores. I think maybe he can put together 70% of what Austin Hooper was, but he's not the same talent, which would make him a back end, you know,
now,
tight end one. What do you do?
People disagree with you on that. Just because he does have that first round draft grade. You know what I mean? Like he first round draft capital. People think that he was legit. Mark Andrews is just a freak. You know, he ended up being the better tight end and it was unfortunate for him. He never really got a chance. He goes into Atlanta, steps in for the Austin Hooper role, which we've all seen what that role can produce last year. And hey, if he ends up being as good of a talent as Austin Hooper, then, yeah, he could be a top 5 tight end to do that.
No, I'm not buying that,
he came
in
though.
Older. Yeah, you know, he's the same age as Austin
right.
Hooper. He came in, I think, as a 23 turning 24-year-old.
And that's why we're gonna say here that his dynasty value is slightly limited just because of how damn old he is. But The thing is could he, does he have the upside of potentially doing that? Would that be like one of those things where it blows my mind if it happens? No. Do I think it's going to happen? Probably not. Do I think it's safe to say he's going to be in the top 18? Absolutely. Yeah. Honestly, I absolutely think he's going to be like the 12th ranked tight end. That seems exactly where I would
put him. I'm selling for a second and I'll buy for a third. You know, I'm like, would you pay a second round pick for him? The Falcons did. But would you pay a second round rookie pick?
No, I don't think so. Especially not an early one. If I really was that desperate for a tight end and had a late second this year, I would do it. Maybe a future second if I was desperate. You know, you sometimes move those future picks a little bit cheaper.
In one of our leagues,
but
someone actually sold Gesicki for a 2022 second. You know, and I feel like that's a move you make all the time.
Yeah.
Last poll we did here, a little bit more, you know, just we had a lot of young, upside, exciting people. Let's talk about Tom Brady, because that's what everybody wants to hear about. 2020 prediction for Tom Brady. Now, I'm not going to share with you how the poll went out, but where do you put Tom Brady in the top as a quarterback?
Well, I definitely think he's going to be top 10. I mean, that, in my opinion, I don't think there's any question. I think he's going to have a big year. He wants to go to the Super Bowl. He's got the receivers, 10 times better receivers. We all see what Bruce Arians does with quarterbacks. I mean, it's Tom Brady. He doesn't even need Bruce Arians.
What number? Give him a number.
I already said that he could definitely be in the conversation for the MVP this year. It would not surprise me. All right? Saying that, I believe that Patrick Mahomes is definitely outperform him. If I had to guess, I think he finishes the QB, I want to say between 4 to 7.
Oh, all right. Well, 10% of people said 1 to 5. Top 12 was 57%. I don't think people understood it was dynasty or not, because 29% of people said he will be barely cracked the top 18, and 4% of you said he's not even going to be a top 18. And those people were all Jets fans, because they're like, we're so tired of losing to Tom Brady. I would feel comfortable. I tried to sell him for third round picks everywhere I had him last year. I would pay a third round pick now to have him as my second quarterback in a dynasty that
absolutely.
I would be able to put him out there. And you'd be surprised what you'd be able to, in a one quarterback league, you can get him for a second, and he's going to play 2 years, you know, and you're going to get two QB one years, at least one this year. I mean, write it down. He's a QB one this year. Next year, we'll see what happens. We'll see how things go. But if you give that late first rookie pick, early second, somebody might jump on that 202 for Tom Brady, just because, depending on what their team direction is. So it's definitely worth looking into.
So I put a number on it. I said 4 to 7 range. What are you thinking, Mike? Just so we can listen back and see who was.
See, 7 was actually the number that I came up with in my head. I was thinking he's going to be in that range. But I was thinking 7 to 10 range. I wasn't thinking 7 and earlier. So, you know, somewhere in those.
So we're both thinking 7. I was thinking his ceiling. You were thinking his floor.
Write it down. He's going to be the QB7. You know, right in between both of us.
There it is.
So some of the other signings, just to kind of spit it out there a little bit. Breshad Perriman, the homeless predator. Those are the Jets. 1 year, $9 million, you know. I mean, is he wide receiver 1 for the Jets now? You know, it's like, I mean, I don't think the Jets wide receiver 1 has been drafted yet. But, I mean, I feel like that puts him in the back end wide receiver 2 spectrum. They still do, but he can't go past 4 yards.
He's caught like 20 balls in one game though before.
Yeah, for 81 yards. It was all like, it was like his A dot is -2 yards.
Yeah.
He's backwards. This one I really liked. Devin Funchess, which we forget about him, you know, and he did really well with Carolina 2 years ago. He went to the Colts and everybody thought, oh man, he's going to be with Locke. He's going to catch some touchdowns. He goes to the Packers as that number 2 guy on the outside, something worth monitoring. Philip Dorsett to the Seahawks, yawn. Aguilar goes to the Raiders. Now, we're Eagles fans, so it's tough to
watch. Can we go back to that Packers situation just for a second? Just because I do want to throw out the fact that I still believe there's a good chance they bring in another receiver.
Oh, they're drafting.
I think they just needed more guys. I mean, their receivers were so god-awful, and they can't take the chance that if Adams goes down that they are – that Valdez-Scantling and Geronimo Allison are their top receivers. Like, that is just hogwash.
Allison really let down last year. I mean, he played very poorly.
But if they draft a guy and Adams goes down, all of a sudden they got this rookie. They got Funchess, who can maybe be a wide receiver,
catch,
too.
He catches touchdowns.
With some depth still in, you know, Valdez-Scantling and Geronimo Allison. So they definitely needed to do that. I'm not getting excited about it at all, but I just wanted to say I still think they're bringing in a guy.
Boom. So Aguilar goes from making $9 million a year with the Eagles as a former Was he a first round draft pick?
Who was that?
Sorry. Aguilar.
Oh, yeah, no. And he was either an early second or late first. He goes
to the Raiders for league minimum. I actually like this. I hope the guy can play. You know what I mean? The Raiders need some receivers. He has shown flashes in a couple of the games. If he
not gets really.
Like if his hands get if he gets a like a hand transplant, the guy's got a chance.
Those hand transplants that hands, they do all the time.
The smallest recorded hand size of all time, Tajay Sharpe with his 7 1/8 inch hands, goes to the Vikings. That's not exciting, but it was news, so we're gonna read it off there. So we actually got five-star reviews, if I can count correctly, that we were gonna read off here for you guys. First one we have is from Best S. Tremendous listen. Fun, informative, and definite must listen. Great insight and a great listen. Add it to your list of shows for sure. Oh, that's from actually the Wrestling with Reality podcast. So we're getting into the wrestling world a little bit. The next one is the Time Skew podcast.
Thank you, sirs.
Put, if you love fantasy, you will love this show. They give great content that makes the longer drive to work all that much more worth it.
Oh, that is amazing.
That one hits me in the feels button a little bit.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate that. Next one is from Superflex Guru, who's actually in our league. He put, love the connection of the two. I'm not sure what that's insinuating, but this is a legit fantasy podcast and love all the content you guys put it out. Keep it going.
Thank you, Trey.
Appreciate it. Oh, we're going real names. Government names. I know his last name. That's really, you know. We don't share that too much on here. And the next one is from...
I was stalking him on his new website. By the way, we'll give him a shout out. He does have a new website out there.
Which
everybody
is?
Everybody go check it out. Is it... Oh, God, Mike. Really? You're going
to
put me on
the spot?
Well,
you said to go check out his website.
Probably fantasyguru.com. I don't know. Hit him up on Twitter.
Why don't you look that up in our group chat? Look that up in our group chat while I read the next two.
All right.
So then we got the next one is from Mama Nuje. Yeah, you know Mama Nuje?
No.
I think she was in Princess and the Frog, but she said, love the insight I get from this show! Exclamation point from Mama Nuje. Thank you, Mama Nuje. And the last one is from Iowa 2011. He said, this is the 101 of all podcasts and the leader in the Dynasty universe. That kind of gets me pumped up. And open your ears and listen to the bigger horizons to explore the different angles of the future that these guys put out. They will exercise your mind in building a new Dynasty revolution into the universe. You make sure you grind all winter with these guys so you can make sure your teams win in the fantasy playoffs. Thank you very much. That's from Wilson 27. And last one, actually, there was a sixth one. Six of them. And I'm just making this one up. No, I'm trying to get him to actually read this here. So it's Rogue Cannon 91 put, my favorite Dynasty podcast, straight and to the point, very entertaining. Keep it up, fellas. So I think he has a website here for us. It's right there. You just passed it. We're looking at ffbforecast.com. That's a little shout out to Trey. Appreciate the work. He just put out his website this week and put out his what is that? His Superflex rookie rankings 1 through 12. So yeah, check that out. And you can find both of us on Twitter, Jared at Dynasty Refinery, myself at Dynasty_DadFF. Wake up, refine those Dynasty rosters.